Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and I think you'll like it. And if you decide that you don't like it, guess what? It's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe, and that's as easy as typing in your email address. So check that out when you get a chance. And don't forget all the other things you can do there, like listen to thousands of archives, and they're all arranged in a handy table, a catalog, basically, of topics that you can go through, or you can search by suite. We have a whole suite of major categories on the left there. You can search by Brain Trust member. It's all there for you, and it's all free thanks to my organization and our outstanding sponsors. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. It's good to have you back. I'm better
good,
now.
Good. Oh.
now that you're here, Joan, I'm better.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I'm trying to be charming here. Joan, work with
me. Okay. Okay. I'll try. It's not easy.
Yeah, I know it's hard for you. Yeah. I know, Joan. I know this is a struggle for you, but we'll work on that.
Okay.
Hey, Joan, Kiplinger says this week that retail is going to have a little more of a challenging year in 2005 than they had in 2004.
Right. I mean, nothing to really worry about. It's still going to grow, but it's just not going to grow at the same pace as last year. Last year was a 5% gain in growth, and we're saying it'll moderate to about 3%. But I guess the big news is there's going to be a lot of consolidation and shakeout among retailers.
You know, Joan, this 3% versus 5%, it really mirrors. It's amazing how much this mirrors the national economic growth. If you think about it, I mean, it's going to wind up being the national growth is going to be around 4.4%. Would have been 5 if it hadn't been for the oil, and they're predicting a little over 3% for 2005. So it's interesting to see how retail is tracking pretty close to this.
Right.
And of course, retail is a big part of our economy. But the thing that's interesting is, Joan, is 2004 to me was like a bust out year. We had 3 years of really tough times, and 2004 was the first year that we kind of started feeling better about ourselves, you know, in the economy, as business owners, as consumers. And don't you think that is what made 2004 sort of such a big year for retail?
Sure. Yeah, sure sounds that way.
Now, one thing that we reported on this week, Joan, with Bill Dunkelberg, in checking with small business owners across the country in January, the retail sector reported a strong January. How about that?
Hey, that's good. Well, great way to start the year.
Yeah. So and we're going to come back in February. He's going to come back in March and give us the February numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting to see how February does. Here's something he mentioned that I didn't think about, Joan. I had never thought about this. He said that January might have been strong because of all the gift cards that were given at Christmas.
Yeah, and you know, I've never understood that. A store is not supposed to list a gift card transaction until or credit it to them to their bottom line until the merchandise goes out of the store.
Right.
But they got the money a long time ago.
Right. Well, it's part of the accrual method of accounting.
Yeah.
And you know, they can.
But
they
let's
won't
say they get the money for the gift card and the person never redeems anything. Then they, even though they got the money, that's never shown anywhere.
That's a good question, Joan.
And that really bothers me. I stay
I'm
up gonna nights
find that
wondering
out the answer
about
to that,
that
question for you, Joan.
Thank you.
I'm going to find out that question.
I
for
wish
you
would.
But you know, I had not thought about the. Obviously, I knew about gift cards, but I had not thought about it being such a large component that it would actually tilt January. See, because I was in retail back in the 60s and 70s, late 60s and early 70s. I was in retail for a number of years, and January and February were always punk months. They were
right.
always tough.
Well, that's when you always had your January white sale because you didn't know what else to get people to come in and buy.
That's right.
But that was before gift cards. And I think this year was probably the biggest year for gift cards ever.
Probably so. And so that's an interesting phenomenon. And I guess my point is it'll be interesting to see how February turns out.
Right.
February, January maybe is a month we can't really pay attention to because of the gift cards. If February does okay, then maybe, you know, maybe February will be a little more of a bellwether for the year.
Yeah, well, that's true.
One of the things that you guys point out is that the hardest hit are going to be what you call the mid-tier organizations, the mid-tier retailers.
That's right. I've been reading a lot about this, that the high-end stores are doing well, and, of course, the major discounters are doing pretty well. But those mid-tier stores don't know. You know, I think they are struggling with their identities, and that's why they're going to have a tough time.
Remember the barbell phenomenon that
banking.
We talked about
yes.
in banking, Joan?
Yes.
Remind us about that.
Well, we had said when the age of mergers hit the banking industry, we said that, you know, people thought, well, that everything would be gobbled up and we'd just be left with a few big banks. But instead what happened was you had the bigger ones getting bigger and bigger and the little small independent community banks finding a niche for themselves.
Right.
And it was sort of the middle size banks that are getting squeezed out. And that's why you get
the
barbell shape
barbell,
because you have the narrowness in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And so if you're large but you're not the largest, you have some of the negatives that people feel about a large company. Meaning you got to hike to get into the building. You got maybe a little less personalized type of service you would think, but you don't have what Steve Martin and I talked about in the last hour. You don't have some of the critical mass for buying power, for example, and maybe marketing power, and maybe just overall market intimidation that the huge ones do.
Yes.
But you don't exactly. also don't have the small boutique touchy-feely thing that the small companies have.
That's right.
So that's a kind of a wake-up call for the people in the middle, isn't it?
It certainly is.
And I agree with you. And another example of what that you guys talked about this week is the food industry, the grocery business.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and how that's tracking very similarly to the retail business, isn't it?
That's right. And where I am in the Washington D.C. area, that's been a big deal because our major chain, Giant Food, was bought up by Stop and Shop, which I believe is a big East Coast grocer.
Uh-huh.
And we've got all sorts of competition going on here with Food Lion and Harris Teeter and Safeway.
Right. Well, and it's not just the big discounters like Costco and Walmart that's hurting the grocers. It's another group, and I want to talk about that in just a minute. It's like a double whammy hitting the grocers. We're going to do that when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working.
We're back. It's 23 after. There's a little cut from Dan Fogelberg's Innocent Age album. That's an old album. It's 25 years old probably, but it's still a good one if you ever get a chance to get that one. Dan Fogelberg and Innocent Age. I've forgotten the name of that song. I think that's Nexus, but I'm not sure. Joan Pride is our guest. You probably would know that song, wouldn't you, Joan?
Well, I know Dan Fogelberg, but I don't know that song.
Boy, he's good. I heard him in concert once.
Yeah, about 30 years ago, right?
It was no, it wasn't that long, but it was almost that long.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, it was just him and his instruments, and he was really good.
Oh, he's great.
Joan, let's get back into our discussion about retail, and we were talking about the grocery business. You know, they've been having struggles. The grocery business has been having a struggle for a long time, and Walmart getting into the grocery business, Costco getting into the grocery business hasn't helped the local grocer kind of thing, the Kroger
right.
and the A&P and those kinds of things. But the other thing that has changed that has been the kind of the double whammy, and it's the cultural element of the challenge for grocery business, is the way people live their lives these days. I mean, you know, every time we lose a grocer, or I should say, every time we gain 10 new restaurants, we lose a grocer.
I see what you mean, yeah.
I mean, when you were growing up, where did you eat breakfast every day?
Oh, at the kitchen table.
At home.
Right.
Today, where do you eat breakfast?
At my desk in the office.
Exactly. Some of you pick up something on the way in, or
special situation that we have a cafeteria in my company.
Right, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, people we get our breakfast handed to us through a window.
Yeah.
You know, somebody sticks a hand out and there's our food on the other end. You know.
And, right.
And instead of mom walking up and putting your eggs in front of you and kissing you on top of the head, you know, somebody, you know, throwing a sandwich at you. So, but that kind of thing, more people eating out for dinner, right?
Oh, sure.
And all that. And so the growth of the restaurant business has been to the detriment of the grocery business. And so
that's true.
It's been a tough business. So anyway, the retail business is going to be, it's going to be an interesting year. Joan, I'm kind of excited to be able to track this as we go through the year. This will be interesting to see how things go, won't it?
Oh, sure.
With the growth of retail. Joan, let's move on down and talk about the impact of Internet sales on retail.
Okay.
Tell us about what Kiplinger had to say about that.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we're saying the Internet sales are going to reinforce retail consolidation because consumers will find it easier to compare products and get exactly what they want online.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, Joan, did I read something? Wasn't it around the fourth quarter that internet sales had increased by about 26% in 2005?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
It was a big number. It was a high number. I think it was associated with the states trying to collect sales tax on. I think that's where I got that report. But the thing is that and one lesson I'd like to point out here for small business owners, Joan, is that Internet activity, people going online to find things that they want to buy, doesn't mean that they will absolutely buy online. Most people, before they buy, what do, Joan? They shop.
Right.
Right? I mean, I bet you shop 10 times more than you actually buy online. Right?
I don't think I'm a good example. Try another person.
Well, but you see what I'm getting at. I mean, imagine that you're every woman, you know, and or every man, and you're going to be my point for small businesses is, and I say this all the time. I say it every time I get a chance. If you think you don't have the critical mass to have or the financial ability to have an e-commerce site where people can actually lay their money down on your site and buy things from you while you're sleeping, you can still put up a catalog so people can shop with you. And then
Think that's very important.
And then come into your store. So okay, you're working downtown, Joan. You're a professional working downtown and you go to my site and you find out that I have something. You kind of like what I have, but there's another company that has something similar but they don't have a storefront. And you want to touch it. You want to feel it. You want to try it on.
Yeah.
Well, you take your lunch break, and you know that I've got it, so you whiz over there, and you look at it, and maybe you buy it. So it's possible that you could actually be at an advantage.
That's important, I think.
And so the I'm talking now, Joan, about the small business end of this barbell.
Right.
How do we compete with the big guys?
Yeah, that's certainly the way. And I think customer service is another way.
And you're exactly right. And guess what, Joan? You have the ability now to do e-customer service where people can actually, you know, find out about their order online or they can find out about how they can work with you online.
Right.
And that's not an expensive thing either. So
anyway,
these are just some things to think about, folks. Joan, the biggest when you think about the internet, when you think about consolidation, the way that you and I deal with retail is an evolving process, isn't it?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about the way that we shop, the way that we buy, the way that we get our, as you mentioned, customer service, all that. It's an evolving process. It's not just something that's happening to the people who are in the business. It's happening to the consumers as well. Let's take a quick break. When we come back after these messages, Joan and I are going to talk about human resources issues. We're going to talk about a new federal jobs program out there that I'm really excited about seeing this. I'm glad somebody's finally doing something about it. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after. Mr. Gracious. Mr. Humble. That's what Joan Pride calls me all the time. Right, Joan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At your service.
Whatever you say.
Thank you very much for hanging around with us. Joan Pride is our guest and our good friend and one of my biggest supporters, too, folks. She just always says such nice things about me. Joan, give us your website, please.
Sure. It's www.kiplinger.com.
K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R. The way I say it, you don't hear the G all and I think that's the way they say it, isn't it? Kiplinger.com, kind of.
That's right.
Sort of leave the G out, but there's a G in there, folks. And and when you put that G in there and you go to the .com, you'll find an outstanding site. I hope you'll check that out. And I hope you'll find out more about their publications because I like them a lot. I've been a subscriber for a long time. I get it in print and electronically. Of course, the weekly letter, which is in its 81st year, is it 82nd year? We're in the 82nd year now.
I think so. Yeah, you're a little behind the time.
That's right, 82nd year, and it's the Kiplinger letter, and then of course that's weekly, and then there also are the three biweekly letters: the California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and then there's a magazine thing too, Joan.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Now, I worked really hard on that 30-day free trial, Joan, to get that for my audience. Can we still have that?
Well, I guess so.
Okay. But as long as you don't mention my name, folks, they'll give it to you. So
right.
check that out. And there's a phone number, too, isn't there, Joan?
That's right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
I like telling people about Kiplinger, folks, because they do a good job, and you get some good stuff there. Joan, and by the way, they don't pay me anything to say that, darn it. But anyway, Joan, let's talk about this human resources thing that you guys report. I'm really kind of excited about this, and I hope when you explain it to me, I hope I'm going to still be excited, Joan. You remember back over the last few years, I have said that I believe that the party that would say to the American public, we're not training our people for 21st century jobs, and we propose, the candidate said, we propose to take all these people who used to work in factories, all these people who used to do things that were not computerized, we're going to train those people so they can be ready for 21st century jobs. Do you remember me saying that I thought if they would do that, they could win the election?
Oh, I don't remember a thing.
Yeah, well, I did.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday.
But is that what this is?
Well, I don't know.
Well, it talks about a federal job program that responds to employer needs, training
right.
for locally available jobs.
Yeah,
that's
which
Uncle
sounds
Sam.
Like the key, the locally available jobs. But I guess the thing, you know, we have to wait and see what happens here with all the budget cuts, what's going to happen to this program.
Yeah. Well, you talk about models of 20 training courses that are in the works now that are available. They're going to be going through community colleges nationwide.
Yes.
That'll benefit the fastest growing businesses, technology, advanced manufacturing, healthcare, construction. I mean, those are all 21st century jobs, Joan.
That's true.
So, but I don't see anybody taking credit for this. Do you? You guys don't report that there are. That there are, you know, like the Democrats or Republicans one or the other is focusing on this.
Right. Yeah, we can't really tell what the genesis of the program is from this.
Well, this has got to happen, Joan. This, to me, this is a great way for the government to get involved
right.
in the future. I mean, this is a perfect role for the government, isn't it? To get
oh, sure.
people retrained for the 21st century jobs.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you proposed this and ran for president, I'd vote for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll have to remember that.
On that one thing. So I hope this is going to happen, folks. I hope that this is what will happen. And by the way, you point out that hopefully, ideally, it'll be funded through the 1900 community job centers out there.
Right.
Of course, we've had those for a long time, Joan.
Well, yeah, we certainly have.
The job centers. They've been out mm-hmm. there for 30 or so years. Mm-hmm. So we'll just have to see what happens. Joan, talk to us about some of the stuff that the banks are doing for us. There's some new stuff out there, isn't there?
Well, that's right. We're talking about new loyalty rewards, and this is for business customers. Mm-hmm. I often think of loyalty rewards as being for individuals, but stuff that they would need, like their telephone systems and their office equipment, they would get credit for these to be able to get these things.
Mm-hmm. And you get, I mean, it's sort of like frequent flyer miles, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
Except it comes
frequent,
in the form
sort of a
of,
frequent customer thing.
Except it comes in the form of jewelry and microwaves and electronics and stuff like that, right?
Right. Exactly.
Or I think you can actually get cash in the form of a credit card, you know, like a debit card kind of thing.
Right. I would think so. Yeah.
Hey, listen. One of the person who keeps up with these things in my organization came up to me the other day and said, "Do you know how many points we have on our credit card thing?"
Ooh.
And I said, "What the credit card thing? I didn't even know we had one of those." And sure enough, we had a bunch of things built up. So that was pretty cool. So check that out and ask your bank if they're providing all those things for you. We're going to talk about free credit reports when we come back. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us.
Right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be.
Come from the cities and they come from the smaller towns. We're back at 17 Tales. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking in the USA with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors there in Washington, D.C., some of my favorite folks, including Joan. Joan, you're one of my favorite folks.
Oh, thank you.
And that's like an honor for you, isn't it?
Wow, yeah, of course.
Hey, Joan, you know, we were talking about those points that you get from your bank.
Right.
We also have that same kind of thing from our telephone company.
Oh.
So, folks, if you're a business and you're paying a telephone company business, you know, you've got business phone lines and that sort of thing, check with your telephone company. You may have points there that you could redeem. And they got catalogs. I mean, I don't know about all the telephone companies, but a lot of them, they have like online catalogs where you can go see. And if you don't like any of the products, they'll give you a little credit card that you can take to, you know, somewhere else and buy stuff.
Wow,
how about
not bad.
That? It's about time we got something back for all the money we're spending
right.
in the junk.
Right.
What's this free credit report thing that you guys report this week?
Well, this has been a long time in coming, but we're saying that free credit reports will be available around the country by September 1st. There was a new law that was enacted that requires the major credit reporting bureaus to give you one free copy a year. It used to be you could only get a free copy if you had been turned down for credit, and now you can get it no matter what your situation is, once a year, which is not a bad thing to check your credit history and make sure there's no mistakes on it or anything like that.
So there's a website you guys pointed out can we get our credit report at this location?
And this is pretty easy, www.annualcreditreport.com.
All right, but if somebody had somebody else's Social Security number, they could check their credit too, couldn't they?
Well, that's true, and that's why, and we talked about this last week, keeping your social security number from getting out
right.
Is important to do.
Right. Yeah, you want to be careful about waving that thing around.
Right.
Joan, let's move over and talk a little politics. Now, Mr. Bush is, he's got a lot going on, he's got a lot he wants to do, but
right.
he's basically, in technically speaking, he's a lame duck.
Right. Not just he, in every sense of the word, he's a lame
okay.
duck, sure.
Well, I don't think he's a lame duck in terms of what he's going to accomplish, but he's a lame duck in terms of electability. He's out of here
right.
after 4 years.
He's a lame duck in terms of what that term means, sure.
That's right. So who are the likely suspects that we
well,
want to round
sort of
up for 08?
Funny, your listeners might be wondering, why are they talking about this right now? But I just saw a whole report about this on CNN last night. So, I mean, people are talking about it. Well, if you want to do the Republicans first, we've got Rudy Giuliani of New York, as everybody knows, John McCain, and there's another senator from Nebraska named Chuck Hagel. But here's mm-hmm. another interesting name, Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know he might be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't see either one of those except for Gingrich. Either one of those Republicans, I don't see either one of those. But I tell you,
you
what,
don't
I
see
did.
McCain or Hagel. What
no,
about Giuliani?
Okay. I don't see that. And the thing is, though, I got this started. You can blame me for this, John, because I got this started when I did my predictions for 05. I predicted that Clinton, Hillary Clinton, would basically, if not officially declare, she would basically be appearing to be running for president in 08 this year. This year, we would know that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
And you're saying you still believe it? That
oh, no question about it. There's yeah. no, and I mean, I'm as sure of that as anything in the world.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'd be pretty surprised if she didn't.
Oh yeah. Run. So who are the other likely suspects in the Democrats?
Among the Democrats, well, John Edwards, of course, who had run for vice president last time around, and I guess we think that Senator John Kerry may try again, but there's
Big
also.
Mistake.
Talk of some governors such as Bill Richardson of New Mexico, Mark Warner of Virginia, but there's also I just read about this fellow, a governor, I forget where, I think his name is Breedson or Bredesen
uh-huh.
in the South. He's a Southern
I don't know. I don't know who that
governor.
Is. But what about Evan Bayh?
Evan Bayh is another one. Yeah.
Evan Bayh is yeah. would be a perfect candidate for the Democrats to run. Because he's a good-looking guy, he's a smart guy, he's not a flamethrower. He seems to me to be the if I had to put my money on somebody who could be the yin to Hillary's yang, it would be Evan Bayh. What do you think?
Okay, well maybe I kind of like Governor Warner of Virginia. He's a businessman, knows small business.
That's
and,
a good point.
Seems to be pretty middle of the road.
Well, and he may be a little more. Interested in that. I mean, I've never heard Evan Bayh act like he was interested. But there's another Republican, though, I want you to think about. And he's from North Carolina. You know who I'm talking about? Lindsey Graham.
Graham?
Lindsey Graham.
Oh, okay.
See, I think he's positioning himself well. Oh. I don't know if he aspires to it at all. But I think Lindsey Graham could be. I think he will play a role in national politics at the presidential level somewhere in his lifetime.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, I'm writing this down.
Watch for him. Watch
okay.
for him. What about Mitt Romney? Did you mention him?
No,
on the
I
Republican
failed to
side?
Mention Mr. Romney.
Out
no.
of from Massachusetts.
Right.
Yeah. And that's you know, we've got some great stations up there. Our newest one is out of Taunton, Massachusetts up there.
I like that segue, I have to say.
Yeah, you know, but that's an interesting state, isn't it? Where they elect two senators like Kerry and Kennedy and then a Republican governor. That's just such an interesting state.
Yeah. I don't know how they do that.
I don't have to. I have a lot of friends up there. I need to get them to explain that to me sometime.
I think you should.
Hey, Joan, let's take a quick break. When we come back, folks, we're going to move over and talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on in the global economy. We're going to talk a little bit about China and some high-tech stuff. And then we're going to move over and talk a little bit about what may be some new irrational exuberance. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, at the bottom of page 3, we're talking about technology, and you guys point out that high-tech parts making may actually help some U.S. manufacturers. What's going on with that?
Well, this is interesting, what we're saying, and basically it's going to help them where they have competition with low-wage countries. And we're calling it direct manufacturing systems, and it's being used by some major companies, and it's fabricating everything from hearing aid shells to jet parts,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to really reduce costs.
Right. Well, the thing is that what I think we're starting to see a little bit is globalization is think of let's think of it like as a series of waves. And for a long time, all the waves were going away from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And not too many things were coming, not too much was coming back.
Right.
And so now what's happening is a lot of those things have washed over across the ocean, and now they're starting to come back when it's starting to come back to us a little bit. And what that's, I think what that's creating is a little bit of an evening out of the globalization. You know, we've got some evidence of good things from globalization, but it still means that the U.S. and our workers have to retool for the 21st century.
Well, sure.
We can't keep expecting to make low-tech parts and low-tech products when those things can be made much cheaper in other parts of the world. We need to be focusing on the higher tech, the higher quality components. By the way, Joan, something that I learned this week that I didn't know is that last year China had a trade deficit, meaning they imported more than they exported.
That's pretty big news.
Well, yeah, and see, the thing is, Joan, that's one of those waves I was talking about, because what do the Chinese want? They want Western. A lot of the Chinese consumers want Western things, and
yeah.
Who's a bigger producer of Western things than America?
Here we are.
So that's a little bit of the wave coming back. So hopefully, remember all the things we hoped would happen in Mexico. We hoped that they would become more of a consumer economy, and it really hasn't been. That didn't do all that much.
Right.
China is probably going to live up to that.
Ah.
Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, think about that. What is it? How many billion? 1.3 billion or something like that, people?
I know. It's mind-boggling,
it's huge.
Really.
Think about what they could think about all the movies and the genes and all the different things that they can use over there. Speaking of economy, Mr. Greenspan is worried about speculative buying of housing and other assets, Joan?
That's right, and he probably should be, you know, because this is sort of, irrational exuberance returned, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're looking at the run-up in interest rates. That's one of the things that the people I talk to who are pretty plugged into the Fed have said to us is that rates shouldn't really – long-term rates and short-term rates should really stay this year down into the range that any of us can deal with.
Right.
And so I think what the jawboning that you guys are reporting is doing, Joan, is just the Fed being more transparent about their concerns and their activities, don't you think?
Yes, I think so.
And that's really, hasn't that kind of transparency, that kind of telegraphing of their punches, hasn't that been good for the economy, for the marketplace?
Well, you know, it's funny. They used to work so hard not to telegraph things, and it just roiled the markets that much more. So I think they're learning that a little disclosure is a good thing.
Well, what was happening was it was creating these tsunamis of concern, and now we're getting these gentle rolling waves, right?
Right.
How about that? How do you like that, that kind of description? Joan, we got about a minute. Let's talk about the last thing on page 4, the Middle East. What's happening over there?
Well, what we've written, I guess, has kind of been taken over by events just a little bit, because you had this, not a formal ceasefire, but in kind of an agreement between Mr. Sharon and Mr. Abbas to,
tell us
I guess,
who those
less
guys
intentions.
Are.
Mr. Sharon, Ariel Sharon, the Israeli Prime Minister, and the new, I guess, the successor to Yasser Arafat,
right.
The president of the PLA, Mahmoud.
Uh-huh, Mahmoud Abbas.
Abbas.
Yeah, the newly elected president
of
PLA. And so those guys are meeting. They shook hands across the table, and they've declared a ceasefire, haven't they?
That's right.
This is momentous, isn't it, Joan?
Oh, yeah.
This is big. I mean, this is world-class news.
Well, let's hope.
Let's hope. We all need to light a little candle and say a little prayer for that situation over there, don't we, Joan?
Boy, that's true.
Yeah. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
Will you come back next week?
I'll think about it.
You're invited.
If I get a raise.
You're invited. You got
okay.
it. It'll be a little something extra in your pay slip this week.
Great.
See you, Joan.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.